don't care. All right, let's get rolling here. We are in church history class 9. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe we will see there's possibly 3 different James in the Jewish commentary, what's called the New Testament. We also see the relationship between Jews and Samaritans. Why don't we open our Bibles to John chapter 4, and we'll get a little jump on this. It's really good that we had the class we had first before this one. Why don't we go to verse 1, page 1448, got a Bible like mine. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples." Yeah, you know, in Jesus' day, when they baptized, the person doing the baptizing didn't get in the water with them. The person who was baptizing did not get down in the water. You self-immersed. The person stood on the bank to make sure every hair on the top of your head went under. But they never got in the water like we do. Does that mean our baptism's wrong? No. No. You're baptized in the name of Jesus, whether you do it by yourself or whether the reverend puts you in, okay? In a trough or in a river, we've been baptized a little bit of everywhere. 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Zechar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Let me see if I can show you on this map, okay? On this map here, if you can see, can you see it there close up, Wilma? Okay. Tell me when you're there. Okay, I'm looking at it upside down, so I got to come down here. Here is Jerusalem, okay? Here's Jerusalem. Here, everybody find Jerusalem there? Right beside Dan. Jerusalem's here. We're going to come up. Here's Bethel. All right, the Samaritans are... they're going to build a place of worship at Bethel. We come on up here north. This is all, this area here, I'm drawing a circle, is Samaria. All right? Here is Shechem. Here's Mount Gerizim. Okay, this is where Jacob's well is, somewhere there in Samaria. Samaria is part of the West Bank territories today, okay, controlled by the Palestinians. But the Jews are building settlements everywhere now. It goes from north of Jerusalem. I do not believe it includes Mount Gilboa. So you can see Mount Gilboa up there. It's not that far. I'll bring a better map next week. And I got to send... I got to send some maps up to Chicago. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria, so it was about noon, right? A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Messiah. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" You know, Jesus is a pretty sharp cat. He knows what's going on. He knew he was in Samaria. He knew that this woman was coming. What's he do with his disciples? "You guys go find some food. Get up on out of here." And you're going to find out hearing this lesson just how much the Jews hated the Samaritans and vice versa. All right? And so now he's going to deal with this woman. All right? After he sent him away. So let's go to our notes. I read you that. You know, Jesus also tells a story about the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A Good Samaritan. I'm going to tell you, after tonight's lesson, you're going to think, man, when he told that and he said good and Samaritan in the same sentence, he had everybody's attention. Okay? It was so bad, if me, a Samaritan, owed Jackie, the Jew, money, she would make me put the money in a bucket of water to get all the cooties off before she would take the money. She would not take it directly from my hand. If she walked in my yard, I would take straw and put in her footprints and set it on fire to get rid of all her cooties. That's how much they hated each other. So Jesus comes along and tells this story about this good Samaritan. I'm sure he had everybody's attention, okay? And you're going to see that here. Uh-huh. Well, obviously he did. He told her. All right. Okay. And that's kind of a lesson. I don't want to get into this. God doesn't like divorce. God hates divorce. But divorce is not the unpardonable sin like we've made it out. You're not wearing the scarlet whatever, the scarlet letter because you got a divorce. All right. It's not good. It's not God's best. It hurts the children and the whole family. Okay. But God said, you've had five husbands. Why didn't he say, if God didn't recognize divorce, why didn't he say, you've had one husband and you've been shacked up with these other five guys? Huh? Why didn't he? He told her the truth. And it, just to be clear, I don't want anybody to run out and get a divorce. All right? It's not good. Been there, done that. Got a t-shirt. Not good. It was God's idea because of the hardness of man's heart to come up with a writing of divorcement. That's in Deuteronomy 25. All right? And anybody taking this class goes out and gets a divorce, I am going to deal with you one-on-one. All right? We're going to the woodshed. Number one, James, a son of Zebedee, also known as the brother of John. He was also known as James the Greater to distinguish him from James the Less, since there were two disciples named James. Probably James the Greater was the older of the two. Jesus nicknamed James and John sons of thunder. Thunder is your blank. Number two, James' birthplace is believed to be Bethsaida. He is one of the five fishermen in partnership with the father Zebedee. They were Simon, Andrew, James, and John that were in the partnership. Matthew 4:21. Philip is also from Bethsaida, and he was probably a fisherman, but he was not in business with the other four. Does this have the Sea of Galilee? Yeah, but it doesn't have. Bethsaida is in the north. If you look at the northern part of the Lake of Galilee, you've got Capernaum and Bethsaida. Okay, it's not on that. It's not on this map you're looking at. Okay, we'll get our maps back out next week. Okay, we're at number three. According to Mark 3:17, Yeshua gave James and John the name Sons of Thunder. This probably had to do with their stormy personalities. They probably got their exercise by jumping to conclusions. Sound like somebody else in here is guilty of that. You know, I love my mother to death, but you can't finish a sentence around her because she. This was being taped, rats. They were probably impetuous and made quick judgment calls. Made quick judgment calls. I am sure Jesus had a smile on his face whenever he said, "Here come the sons of thunder." Four, the nickname says something about their character. They would become men of peace, But like Simon before he became Peter, James and John were known as sons of thunder. Luke 9:54 says that when they were going through Samaria, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy a Samaritan village. This is not recommended evangelistic procedure. Not many people getting saved here. What do you think? Huh? You can tell by that passage of Scripture, there is no love lost between the Jews and Samaritans. Five, hatred between Jews and Samaritans was fierce and longstanding. In some ways, it dated all the way back to the days of the patriarchs. Jacob, or Israel, had 12 sons whose descendants became 12 tribes. Joseph, his favorite, was despised by the brothers, and they attempted to do away with him. Genesis 37. Your blank is tribes. Six, but God intervened and not only preserved Joseph's life, but uses him to preserve the lives of the entire clan. Remember, he became the ruler in Egypt. When the famine came, he was able to feed his brothers. Before his death, death is your blank, Jacob gave Joseph a blessing in which he called him a fruitful ball by a well. The blessing was fulfilled as the territory allotted to the tribes of Joseph's two sons, Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful, and Manasseh, was the fertile land that eventually became Samaria. So you see the idea behind that? Joseph was always battling with his brothers. Now his two sons, they are going to end up being, a lot of their descendants are going to be, end up being the Samaritans. Okay, so you still got the battle going on. Okay, I'm telling you, the Middle East is one dysfunctional family. They're all belong to Abraham, and whew, it's a mess. But just like Jesus brought order into the chaos of your lives, he will bring order into the chaos called the Middle East. We are six. Seven, later Israel divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, called Israel, established its capital first at Shechem, a revered site in Jewish history, and later at the hilltop city of Samaria. The southern kingdom was called Judah, and its capital was Jerusalem. But you already knew that. Eight, because of their defective devotion to Judaism and their partly pagan ancestry, the Samaritans were despised by ordinary Jews. Despised is your blank. Because the Samaritans were sometimes hostile, and also the fact that a Jew believed that he could become contaminated by passing through Samaritan territory. Jews who were traveling from Judea to Galilee or vice versa would cross over the Jordan River and avoid Samaria by going through Transjordan and cross back over the river again once they had reached their destination. A little bit like we were when we were younger. We thought girls, you couldn't touch a girl because you'd get cooties. You know? I'll tell you this story. I was at a man's house. What is today? Wednesday? Yesterday, I was at a man's house, and it's really sad. This young man, he's like 41. It seems like he has the mentality of a 12-year-old, only child. His parents were only children. His parents inherited their grandparents' farm, their parents' farm, and the farm that they owned. We're talking about thousands of acres. They owned all the land that in Marietta were Lowe's and Walmart's all built on, you know. And so this young man has, he's went through millions of dollars, you know. And he's wanting to sell me some equipment, me and Gordon. So I went over to see him, and the housekeeper came out. And she don't really have time to clean the house. She's just trying to maintain the kitty litter boxes and, you know, the dog stuff. And she said, don't get too close to him because his girls got lice. I just cleaned all them up. I'm like, I ain't getting close to you, you know. You know. And then when he comes, and I don't know if it was just me or, you know what, when he finally, he wasn't there. When he gets there, you know, we're talking, and I got him at a distance. I give him the paper. Here's what we'll give you for it, you know. And he's standing over, you know, reading it, just digging in his head.
No.
And I'm like, so, you know, as much as I didn't want to get close to him, I think that was the Jewish Samaritan kind of deal, you know. Don't want to get, whatever you got ain't going to get on me, okay? So, anyway, the young man needs a lot of prayer, and he needs some stuff for life. So, moving right along. Where did I leave off? You get the idea of the Jews and Samaritans. Number 9. The Samaritans often taunted the Jews. They rejected all the Old Testament except the Pentateuch. You know, the Pentateuch is the first 5 books of the Bible, all right? And they claim to have an older copy than the Jews and boast that they observe the precepts better. The Jews repaid them with hatred. They rejected the Samaritan copy of the law and publicly denounced the Samaritans were of any Jewish birth. 10. The Samaritan was publicly cursed in their synagogues. They could not serve as a witness in the Jewish courts. He could not be converted to Judaism as a proselyte, and he was believed to be excluded from the afterlife. Hey, that's pretty harsh. Many of them were half-Jews. Remember, when we talked about Jeroboam offered up sacrifices to pagan gods, and they were intermarrying with pagan women. So a lot of these Samaritans were leftovers from 10 northern tribes, and they had dabbled into paganism. Okay, all right. So, but yes, they were related. Well, I'm telling you, it is crazy. 11. Is that where we're at? When the temple of Jerusalem was being rebuilt. This is in Ezra and Nehemiah's time. The Samaritans offered to help, but their offer was rejected. As a result, they not only tried to prevent the rebuilding of the temple and the city walls in the time of Nehemiah, and built the temple themselves on Mount Gerizim near Shechem. So they built their own temple. How about that? All right. 12. These disputes resulted in further hostile relations between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews, for example, would not allow the Samaritans to sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem and considered marriages between Samaritans and Jews illegal. Also, because the Samaritans were considered half-Jews and a mixed race, many conflicts existed between the Jews and the Samaritans during the time of Messiah. Amen. Now, we've seen that in America, okay? We've seen that kind of deal in America. Today, it's not near what it used to be, but when you used to see a mixed-race child, you know, there was a lot of, I guess you'd call it racism going on. Here, you have the same thing, okay? You've got the same thing between the Jews and the Samaritans who were half. I almost said half breeds, but that didn't sound good. You know, sorry about that. I apologize. Half Jew, half Samaritan. There you go. We're at 13. The Jewish commentary, also known as the New Testament, makes no attempt to hide the immense hostility that existed between the Jews and Samaritans. Yeshua did not validate the Samaritan claim that the Lord was to be worshipped at Mount Gerizim. But he did make a bold statement to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 21 through 24. I'm going to read those words to you again. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I'm going to give you my definition. It has nothing to do with this teaching, of what worshiping God in spirit and truth means to me. You might get something different. Anybody can come through those doors and come in here and sing a song and put their hands up. Okay? Doesn't necessarily mean they're worshiping out of their heart. Because if I've went all week long living for the devil, then I can't worship God in spirit and truth, right? Because I'm not living according to the truth of God's word all week long. The only way I can worship God in spirit and truth is if I've been walking in that truth all week long. Amen. Then I can come in here and I can worship him in spirit and truth. That make any sense? Okay. All right. Moving right along. That was extra, but I won't charge you for it. Anybody know where I left off? 14. James and John were not very refined and seemed to not be able to control their anger. In the book of Acts, James and John ministered in Samaria. I'm telling you, God has such a sense of humor. You know, here in the beginning, they want to call down fire on them. And then once they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they just have a whole change of direction and they're in Samaria. I told God, I argued with God for years. All I wanted was a house, a wife that loved me, and kids, and a good job, and I'd go to church every Sunday. God, that's all I need from you, you know. Yeah. And God told me to preach at a young age. But I was so nervous, I didn't even give an oral. I would take a zero before I'd give an oral book report. Yeah. Zero. You know, zeros don't add up to much at the end of the semester, if you know what I mean. So I told God finally, I said, okay, I'll preach, but I don't want to leave this country. I had this overseas phobia, you know, and I was a mama's boy, and I didn't even like church camp at the time because I had to leave my mama for a week, you know. And they'd make me go, and I'd kiss as many girls as I could while I was there. That was the one benefit, you know. But I had to get home to mama, you know. And so then one day I wake up, and I'm in Freetown, Sierra Leone, the poorest. It may be the poorest nation in the world. It's definitely one of the poorest in Africa. And I'm standing on a balcony, and I'm listening to the Muslims do their prayers in the evening. Whatever. And I'm standing on a balcony in this, you talk about a flea bit hotel? Flea bitten hotel? This wasn't that good, okay? And I'm standing there listening. The sun's going down. Sun was kind of pretty. You know, the minaret, the Islamic prayer tower, that was kind of cool in the sunlight. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm not alone. I got two guys that I don't know, you know, two brothers, and they're asking me. They said, we need money.
No.
I was like, well, you come to the wrong place, you need money, you know, because I knew I had them by a good 40 pounds. You know, they had not been eating as well as me. And they said, no, we need money because we're going somewhere. And I'm like, no money here. You know, they said, yes, yes, yes. You know, when I put his hand on my shoulder. And I was like, hey, Marty. My buddy was right behind me. And, you know, Marty's bigger than me. He's like, here, he come. Hey, what's the problem? You know, I said, oh, ain't no problem. These guys need Jesus, you know. And Marty's one of them guys, he'd get the back door saved if he'd listen to him. You know, so anyway, after Marty came, they didn't need any money anymore, and they left. So, you know, God's got a sense of humor. You know, I'm going to leave this country. And talk about your first trip overseas, going to Africa. That's extreme.
Yeah.
That's extreme for your first trip. You know, go to Costa Rica, go to Dominican Republic, go to Guatemala somewhere. You know, Africa's extreme for your first trip. It was rough. It was really rough, really poor. I mean, I can't explain it to you. The poverty we have, nothing. I don't know if we did any good work or not. I'll tell you this. Their money was like 100 to 1. $1, you get 100 of their bills. So cashed in $100, and I had to take my stuff out of my briefcase to put all of it in the briefcase. We looked like drug dealers, you know. But instead of being millions, it was just $100. Any way you slice it. So. Yeah. Anyway, I got way off point there. We are going where? Where are we at? Second sentence on 14. All right, yeah. They ministered in Samaria. God has a sense of humor. After the persecution of Stephen, Peter, James, and John ministered in Samaria. Note the change that happened through the example of Yeshua. James and John had the problem of judgmental attitudes towards others. But they got to see Jesus minister to this Samaritan woman. Then they got filled with his spirit on the day of Pentecost. And look out. Let me get some of my buddies and the good old Samaritans. Amen. 15. The disciples at times had terrible attitudes toward anyone not like them, such as half-Jews or Samaritans and Gentiles, and wanted to call down fire on them. Fire's your blank. The attitude and personalities of James and John are captured in Yeshua's nickname for them, Sons of Thunder. 16. Church tradition tells us that James died in 44 A.D., and was slain by the sword at the hand of Herod Agrippa. According to Clement, the man who led James to be beheaded was moved by the way James bore his testimony to the faith of Yeshua and confessed himself a Christian. Both were led away to die. On their way, he begged James to forgive him, and James, considering a little, replied, "Peace be to you," and kissed him. Then both were beheaded at the same time. Don't you hope your witness is that strong? The man that accused you and is leading you to be beheaded, you witness to him, he gets saved, and you both get beheaded at the same time. What a story. They both went to heaven. 17. It sounds like Stephen, whose last words were, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin," moved James, and Yeshua moved Stephen. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So Clement lets us know that James was gracious to the end, and that the man who led him to the place of his execution confessed Christ himself. Wow. Stephen gets stoned in the book of Acts like Paul was there holding coats. He was. Paul is there. But Stephen asked God to forgive them, just like Jesus asked God to forgive the people who had crucified him. So James, he sees those two examples. Now he's going to do the same thing. You know, he chose well. 18. When Peter was arrested and the earthquake came, and Peter thought he was dreaming, someone helped him out of the prison, an angel, a messenger of God, and he found himself in the streets of Jerusalem. Peter never had due process in the charges against him. If there had been due process, Peter would have been beheaded. Peter's imprisonment occurred after Herod Agrippa had beheaded James. Peter was smart's your blank, to be scarce in Jerusalem. Okay? So, Herod Agrippa, he beheads James, right? And he puts Peter in jail, imprisons him, but Peter gets out. If Peter hadn't got out of jail, if God hadn't delivered him, he probably too would have been beheaded there. 19. While the book of Acts simply says that Herod Agrippa died because he did not give God the glory and was smitten of worms and died, Josephus gives us the juicy details, and they are quite juicy. At Caesarea, Herod Agrippa was giving a speech at the theater in the morning commemorating a treaty that had just been made. 20. The sun was rising in the east over the top of the theater. Herod waited until the sun was reaching the place where he would stand to deliver his speech. Speech is your blank. He was wearing a silver thread gown. He came out and stood in the sunlight, and the crowd started chanting, "A voice of a God." Herod responded, "Thank you." When he came up from saying thank you, Josephus says an owl, that's O-W-L, landed on one of the ropes that went from the back of the theater to the back of the stage so canvas could be pulled over the theater in inclement weather. 21. An owl was considered a bad omen in Roman culture. In Acts 12, when Cornelius bowed down to Peter, Peter said, "Get up, I am but a man." Herod Agrippa should have said, "I am but a man." But rather he said, "Thank you." Herod Agrippa began shaking and had to be carried off the stage. He had an intestinal blockage in his stomach, which burst is your blank, and worms were found everywhere, which contributed to his intestinal blockage and his stomach bursting. So, Josephus tells us, if you want to steal God's glory and thunder, go ahead at your own peril. 22. We know that Yeshua had two disciples named James. We know very little about James the Less, who's mentioned in Mark 15:40. James is your blank there in 22. He was also known as the son of Alphaeus in Matthew 10:3. He is listed among the martyrs, but no details are provided. 23. Many have confused James the Less with James, the relative of Jesus, who was bishop of Jerusalem. Jesus' relative named James did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection. Now, we're talking about James, his brother. Okay? When we say relative, it was his brother. Some people say it was his half-brother. Okay, whatever. James the Less was a disciple. Because we know so little about James the Less, the church fathers made a guess that he may have been the brother or relative of Jesus also. Okay? Doesn't make any sense. No, a relative, not a brother. A relative, not a brother. I should have made that distinction James, there was James, the brother of Jesus. Now, he was the brother of Jesus, but he didn't believe Jesus was Messiah until after the resurrection. He was. The apostle James, known as the brother of Yeshua in the Gospels, was not one of the original 12. In the book of Acts, James was referred to as the brother of the Lord. Galatians 2:9 refers to James as well as Peter and John as pillars of the church. He was well respected and known as James the Just.
Now, that James the Less there.
James the Less is different. There is James the disciple. There is James the Less, who was also a disciple later on, but we don't know anything about him. Okay, and now we have James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, it is James, the brother of Jesus, that is believed to be the bishop of Jerusalem. Okay, it's confusing. Let me finish, and we'll discuss that. That's something we probably ought to hash out. I think that's right. James the Greater. Let me finish our notes. Maybe it'll come clearer. It was really clear in my mind. 24, the Apostle James, known as the brother of Yeshua in the Gospels, was not one of the original 12. Okay? In the book of Acts, James was referred to as the brother of the Lord. Galatians 2:9 refers to James as well as Peter and John as pillars of the church. He was well respected and known as James the Just. Okay? There was... Let me go back here a minute. Was James one of the fishermen? Huh? He's the brother. He's one of Zebedee's sons, right? So there's James the disciple, James the lesser, and there's James the brother of Jesus, all right? Galatians 2:9 refers to James, that's the disciple James, okay? As well as Peter and John as pillars of the... Nope, that's the brother of Jesus. Galatians 2:9 is the brother of Jesus, okay? Because he was the one that was well respected and known as James the Just. So the first James is James the Greater. He's one of the original disciples. James the Less, we don't know a lot about him other than he was a follower of Jesus and he's mentioned in a biblical text. All right, and now we're talking about James, the brother of Jesus, who was well respected in Jerusalem. That's going to come in handy here in a minute. Yes. 25. So that is the James that was a pillar in the church is the brother of Jesus. Okay? All right. Okay, right. He's going to be the first bishop of Jerusalem. James 25. James, the brother of Jesus, was born in Nazareth. He is believed to have died in 62 AD from stoning. He was cast from a high place. Many scholars say he was cast from the Temple Mount or from the temple. But understand this. Doesn't mean, when it says they cast him from a high place, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, he was two stories up. He could have just been cast off the steps. But the history of the Jews, when you cast somebody down, if they weren't dead, you stoned them until they were dead. Okay? So he was cast off a high place. We don't know how high. And then they finished him off by stoning him. He was cast from a high place, which is often what happened before the person was stoned. If they survived the fall, then they were stoned, then hit with the Fowler's Club. A Fowler's Club was a club that was used to beat rugs with. Okay, so I don't have a picture one. 26. The Jews, after Paul had appealed to Caesar and had been sent by Festus to Rome, frustrated in their hope of entrapping him by the snares they had laid, turned themselves against James, the brother of the Lord, to whom the episcopal seat at Jerusalem was committed by the apostles. In other words, they couldn't entrap Paul. They turned their attention on James. And the episcopal seat simply means James was the first bishop of Jerusalem. What did they call James a bishop? No. No. He wasn't called by the name of bishop. That bishops are something that came after. Okay? But our church fathers decided that, you know, somewhere along the line, Peter was the first pope. All right? Even though there weren't any popes in that day, and James was the first bishop of Jerusalem. All right? And I really didn't look up bishop. I think bishop means overseer. Closest word to bishop is more like a pastor. Somebody oversees, overwatches. You can look that up this week. Maybe bring us a better definition of a bishop. We are where? 27. Some of the Judean Sanhedrin members who were against Paul turned against James in a public place. They demanded he should renounce the faith of Yeshua before all the people. but contrary to the sentiments of all, with a firm voice and much beyond their expectation, he declared himself fully before the whole multitude that Yeshua, the Messiah, was the Son of God, our Savior and our Lord. They were also frustrated in the fact that James was well respected in Jerusalem. Now remember, James being a brother of Jesus, he might have been a carpenter also. He might have been a decent businessman, a good worker, you know. And he's, while Jesus is spending a lot of time at the temple growing up, while he's also working with his father, James probably did a lot of work for people in Jerusalem. You know, he was well respected. They knew James, you know. He wasn't one of these crazies like John the Baptist, you know, and he, you know, and his brother Jesus, you know. He wasn't a crazy like that until he watches Jesus die, and then he sees him after his resurrection. That's a game changer for sure. All right, but he's already got this reputation in Jerusalem. He's got a good reputation. All right, see, we should all care about our reputation. You know, us rednecks, we don't care what people think. Well, really, you might, yeah. You know. If you're going to be a good witness, you know, doesn't matter what you did in the past. Once you come to Jesus, now you need to carry yourself a little differently. Amen? You need to be about the Father's kingdom. It's not about you anymore. It's about Him. Okay? We are where, 27? 28. James, the brother of Yeshua, was known as James the Just by all. From the days of the Lord, he received the government of the church. Or when it says the days of the Lord, I'm talking about after his resurrection and Jesus ascends. Now James is going to take an active, well, first he's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have proof, but I kind of believe he was in that upper room, you know. Because remember, after Jesus, after he goes into heaven, sprinkles his blood on the heavenly utensils of worship, he comes back and he teaches the disciples for 40 days. And he tells 500 people to tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power. But we find there's only 120 in that upper room. And I got to believe that after Jesus came back from the dead and he teaches his disciples 40 days, that's when James had his encounter with him. Okay? That's when he's like, hey, I know you died, you know, and for you to be here now, and now you're teaching, yeah, I believe you are the Messiah. Amen. Amen. So we're here 28. We at 28? No, we already did 28. No, we didn't finish. James, the brother of Yeshua, was known as James the Just by all. From the days of the Lord, received the government of the church. He became an overseer of the church. James' greatest contribution may be found in Acts 15 at the first council of Jerusalem. After his death, Simeon, the son of Cleophas, ruled the Jerusalem church. Now, I want to go back to Acts 15 because I want to make sure you know something here. Now, I've already read you tonight in the first class, but I'll do that again because we've got people watching this class that weren't watching the first class. Remember, the disciples have come to Jerusalem. They're talking about this phenomenon that Gentiles are being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. James has his say. He gets up and he says, and these are the words of the prophet, agree, just as is written, after this I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. God says, I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Why? So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. See, this passage actually gives some credibility to my idea that fullness in Romans 11 is not the full number of Gentiles, but a revelation. All right, but now James is going to do something even more important. They're talking about whether or not Gentiles have to be circumcised, whether Gentiles have to eat according to kosher laws. And so here's what James does. We're going to start in verse 24, but I'm going to explain this to you. Remember Peter. Jesus asked Peter, "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter says, You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And to you I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." James is about to do some binding and some loosening on the Gentiles. Okay? And he's going to say in verse 24, "Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, 'You must be circumcised and keep the law,' to whom we gave no such commandment, it seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth." Now, that's not the same Judas Iscariot that betrayed Christ, all right? "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So he's going to bind these laws on the Gentiles, that you abstain from things offered to idols, you abstain from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. So James says, listen, you don't have to be circumcised as a Gentile, but you do have to, don't keep away from anything offered to an idol. Don't eat any blood. Okay. Now, I personally believe that was blood that was used in pagan rituals. Okay. I'm not so sure that if you eat your steak rare that you're going to hell. I'm a doubting it. Okay. He tells them not to eat anything strangled, because strangulation, that's not the kosher way to kill an animal, all right? And he tells them to stay away from sexual immorality. So he looses them from circumcision, but he binds these four things on the Gentiles, okay? So he's using his authority, James is. 29, last one.
That's a pretty good trade, Pastor.
Was it? Eusebius, the church historian, gives us a list of the bishops of Jerusalem. James, called the brother of Yeshua, was the first. The second was Simeon. The third, Justus. The fourth, Zacchai. The fifth, Tobias. Tobias is your blank. T-O-B-I-A-S. The seventh was John. The eighth, Matthew. The ninth, Philip. The 10th, Seneca. The 11th, Justus. And the 12th, Levi. And the 13th, Ephorus. The 14th, Joseph. And the 15th was a man named Judas. So those were the first 15 bishops of Jerusalem. Okay. I don't know. I don't have a sixth one there. Daggone, we left him out. That ain't bad. It's not bad average. Yeah, I missed that one. I didn't have as many typos in that one, though. So, we're getting better. Can't beat that. I appreciate everybody. Anybody out there watching in cyberspace, did you miss any? It takes 12 seconds for that to get to them. Text me and let me know.